Okay, everybody doing good tonight?
All right, it's really, really, really good, and it's a privilege to minister to you on Monday nights here with the team. And, you know, I just enjoy coming out. We come out because we love you with the love of God. We come out to serve you because we love you with God's love, and we want to see God do something special and great with your life. How many here tonight know that God has got something better for you? Not to remain in the same position you're in tonight. But God wants to bring you from glory to glory. Amen? You know, you might be in the pit tonight. You might feel like you're in the pit tonight, but guess what? God wants to bring you from the pit in your life to the palace of His blessings. He's got something good in store for you. Why? Because we serve a good God, right? God is the author of good and not of bad. And He's got something good in store for you tonight. And last week we began this series on the fruit of the Spirit. The fruits of the Spirit. And just in brief summary, we talked about last week the fruit of the Spirit called peace. It's the third fruit that Paul the Apostle lists in Galatians 5:22. Peace. And if you remember, I had a bowl of fruit with me last week, right? And, you know, in the natural realm, if you want to produce some type of natural fruit, like an orange, what do? You take orange seeds, right? You plant them in soil. You nurture those seeds until it produces oranges, right? The fruit called an orange, right? It's the same way with plums. It's the same way with bananas. It's the same way with any kind of natural fruit. If you want some type of fruit, you've got to plant what? The seeds of the fruit that you're wanting, right? All right. Well, spiritually speaking, the fruit of the Spirit should be a natural result of the seed of the Spirit of Christ planted on the throne of your heart. Think of your heart having a throne. The soil of your heart. The fruit of the Spirit is a natural result of the seed of the Spirit of Jesus Christ firmly planted on the throne of your heart. Does that make sense? All right. As this relationship with Jesus Christ is nurtured and looked after, the different fruit of the Spirit should be produced. So if Jesus is seated on the inside, firmly planted, and you nourish that relationship with Him, the fruit of the Spirit should result in your life. And the fruit that we talked about last week was the fruit of the Spirit called peace. All right, peace with God precedes what? Inner peace and peace in relationship with others. You know, at one time we were alienated from God, right? We were separate from God because of our sins, right? But when you said, Jesus, be planted on the throne of my heart, guess what? We came back into reconciliation with God. We were restored to peaceful relationship with God according to Romans 5:1. And peace with God, as I said, precedes, comes before inner peace. It comes before peace with others. You know, when you have peace on the inside, when you're feeling good on the inside of yourself, you like to bring peace to confusing relationships, to bad relationships, people who may be out of order, they may be, indifferent towards each other. When you have peace on the inside, you're able to bring peace to relationships, peace in your relationships with others. Amen? Make sense tonight? Well, okay. How many know, just as a side note, how many know the perfect number of God? What's God's number? God's number is 7, right? That's the number of God. In 6 days, God created the heavens and the earth, man and woman, everything in it, right? And on the 7th day, God did what? He rested. This is just kind of a side note. And tonight, we're going to talk about the 7th fruit of the Spirit that Paul lists in Galatians 5:22. And what fruit is that? Tonight we want to talk about the fruit of the Spirit called faithfulness. Faithfulness. Now, how many here tonight are prospects for God to do something great in your lives. We're all prospects, right? For God's miracles in our lives, right? But we have to do our part. We have a part to play for God to do a miracle in our lives. Our part is to make sure that the fruit of the Spirit called faithfulness is developed in us. You know, as I was preparing this message, I did a study on the definition of the word faithful. This comes from the Random House Dictionary of the English Language. What does faithful mean? He gave several definitions, and I'll give you some of those definitions. The word faithful means strict or thorough in the performance of one's duty, true to one's word, promises, vows, and etc. Steady in allegiance or affection and loyal. Reliable, trusted, or believed. Full of faith and believing. Some other synonyms are this. Related words. True, devoted, and staunch. So I kind of took all those definitions and I made my own definition of the word faithfulness. And here it is. I define it as this. A consistent steadiness to a course of action without quitting. Let me say that again. Faithfulness is a consistent steadiness to a course of action without quitting. All right, here's my illustration here. Look at the second hand on this clock, on a well-powered clock. Look at that second hand, it's red, right? It's faithful in doing what? Faithful for days and days and months and years until the battery goes out. It's faithful in ticking 60 seconds a minute, right? It's faithful in ticking 60 minutes an hour. And faithful in ticking 24 hours a day. This second hand is faithful, right? So we have to be what? As steady and as faithful as this clock, as the second hand on the clock. Make sense? You know, this clock right here, it doesn't matter what's going on around it. Doesn't matter if it's cold outside. Doesn't matter if people on the inside are fighting. Doesn't matter what the situation is. Doesn't matter if people are yelling. Doesn't matter if there's a fire somewhere nearby. This clock keeps doing what? It keeps faithfully ticking away. And guys, it's the same way with us. Doesn't matter what the situations are like around us. If you've got a goal in life, you've got to faithfully tick like that clock. And not stop when the going gets tough. Faithfulness, consistent steadiness to a course of action without quitting. Steady as a clock. Say it tonight. I want to be steady and faithful as a clock. All right, in the Bible, who is the most faithful? In the Bible, who is the most faithful one? God the Father. Look at Psalm 33, verse 4. Psalm 33, verse 4. This is what it says about God, our Creator. Psalm 33, 4. From the NIV. For the word of the Lord is right and true. He is faithful in all he does. That word all in the original language means all. God is consistently steady in all that he does. Look at Psalm 145, verse 13. Psalm 145, verse 13. I mean, the Bible is full of talking about the faithfulness of God. 145, verse 13. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is what? Faithful to all of his promises and loving toward all he has made. Psalm 146, 6. The maker of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them, the Lord who remains faithful forever. So how many here agree tonight that God is faithful? He is consistently reliable without fail. For all of eternity, God has been faithful. He has never changed. Paul the Apostle writes to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 14:33 that God is not a God of disorder, but He is a God of peace. He is a God of order. Right? Consistently during the day, God gives us what? Every day, consistently for all of eternity, God has given us what? For all of time. He gives us light so that we can go about our daily activities, right? Consistently throughout time, at night, what does God give us? He gives us darkness so that we can do what? So that we can sleep and rejuvenate ourselves, right? He faithfully, without fail, supplies us with oxygen so that we can have physical life. Could you imagine God saying, let me take oxygen away from this earth for 10 minutes? We would all do what? Just for 10 minutes and then I'll start it up again. We would all die, right? He consistently, throughout time, has provided us with oxygen so that we can live, right? He is a faithful God. And what does Paul the Apostle write in Ephesians 5:1? He says, be ye therefore imitators of God. It says, of God in that scripture. Imitators of God. God is faithful. So we're to do what? We're to imitate the faithfulness of God in our lives. Amen? Does that make sense? All right. Let's talk about some of the biblical heroes who were faithful. Some of the Bible heroes who were extremely faithful. The first one I'd like to talk about is Paul the Apostle. Paul the Apostle. Paul the Apostle was what? He was a murderer of Christians, right? He was a murderer of those who followed the way of Jesus Christ. And he was on his way to Damascus one day in Acts chapter 9. He was ready to kill some more Christians, right? And as he was walking along, a bright light threw him to the ground. He was blinded. And God spoke to Ananias in Damascus and said, go lay your hands on Paul, for he is my chosen instrument to bring my message, my name, Jesus said, to the Gentiles. And, you know, we read in Galatians 1, if you want to go, you know, you want to write down the scripture, Galatians 1, 15 through 17, we find out that Paul the Apostle knew what his mission in life was. What was the mission of Paul the Apostle? What was his goal in life? It was to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, right? That was his mission in life. Let me tell you something tonight. Paul had some really, really hard valley experiences in his life, in his ministry, towards achieving that goal. He had some very low points in his life. I'd like to read that tonight from 2 Corinthians 11. 2 Corinthians 11 verses 23 through 29. In achieving the goal that God had set forth for him, Paul the Apostle was consistently reliable, consistently steady. He was faithful. He did not quit. Steady like a clock. Look at 2 Corinthians 11, verse 23. Are they servants of Christ? I am out of my mind to talk like this. I am more. I have worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, and been exposed to death again and again. Five times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. Verse 26. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at the sea, in danger from false brothers. Verse 27, I have labored and toiled and I've often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. Who is weak and I do not feel weak? Who is led into sin and I do not inwardly burn? How many agree tonight that Paul knew his mission in life? And if anybody had reasons to quit, who was it? It was Paul the Apostle, right? He was shipwrecked, beaten with rods, went without clothes, hungry, without sleep. But why didn't Paul quit? Why was he faithful? Why was he faithful to God's call? Because his eyes were focused on the goal of preaching the gospel to the Gentiles. And friends, I'm here to tell you tonight that God has a plan and a purpose for your life. He has got a goal for you to achieve. Something special to do in the body of Christ. You may have some immediate goals in your own life. Maybe you're sick in your body and you want to be healed. Maybe you want more financial stability. Maybe a better job, a better paying job. Maybe some money in the bank. Maybe you want an increased relationship with God. Or maybe you're looking for peace on the inside. Let me encourage you with this tonight. In achieving your goals, you cannot let the past hold you back. You cannot live behind the bars of the past. If anybody could, it was Paul the Apostle, right? Because he was what? He was a murderer of Christians before he was converted, right? Look what he writes in Philippians 3, verses 13 and 14. Philippians 3, verse 13. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken a hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. His goal was to preach the gospel to the Gentiles and eventually make it to heaven, right? He had his eyes fixed on the prize. In your faithfulness toward your goal, you will have some awesome mountaintop experiences, but you'll also go through some what? Some valleys. Let me ask you this tonight. Will you quit when the times get tough? When the going gets tough, will you quit or will you be like Paul the Apostle? Will you remain consistently steady even when the going towards your goal gets really rough? Consistently steady, faithful. Quitters focus on the problem. You may have a goal in your life. Maybe it's better health, as I said. Maybe it's increased finances, peace in your emotions. Maybe your goal is to be in the ministry one day to preach the Word of God. Maybe it's to be a nurse. Maybe it's to own your own business. Maybe it's to write a book. And as you go towards that goal, you're going to face some obstacles, like Paul the Apostle did. Quitters focus on the problem. Winners, on the other hand, focus on the goal, regardless of the problem. That makes sense? Winners focus on the goal, regardless of the problem. Our greatest hero of faithfulness is who? Jesus Christ. He was born to die so that we could live forever. In Luke 19:10, he says this, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost." He knew his goal in life, right? What was his goal? What was his mission? It was to minister on this earth for 3 years, to do good, and then to go to the cross, so that you and I could be saved, going to heaven one day. Amen? He knew his mission in life. In his humanity, Jesus felt like quitting. You believe me? It's in the Word of God, Matthew 26. He felt like quitting. Let's turn to it. Matthew chapter 26. In the garden, speaking to his heavenly Father, Matthew chapter 26. This is what Jesus says. In his humanity, in going towards his goal, Jesus himself felt like quitting. But this is what he says. Matthew 26, verse 39. Going a little farther, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will." What cup was he talking about? The cup of suffering that he was about to experience at the cross. He had a goal. It was the cross. It was the cross. It was to die, to be buried, and to rise again on the third day. But in going towards that goal, Jesus himself, God the Son, felt like quitting, like giving up. But he said, nevertheless, not my will, God, but yours be done. That has got to be our response to God's goal for our life. God, this is tough. You've told me to do this. But nevertheless, not my will, God, your will be done in my life. Will that be your attitude tonight? Will you develop and nurture that fruit of the Spirit called faithfulness, consistently steady toward your goal without quitting, even when it gets tough, like it did for Paul and for Jesus? Is that making sense tonight? Faithfulness, the seventh gift of the Spirit. Number seven, God's number. How to pursue your goal faithfully. Remember, we are three-part beings, right? Paul the Apostle writes about it in 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Three-part beings, right? We are spirits, a spirit, right? We are spirits who will live on forever one day. Spirits who live in this physical body here on this earth. And we have a soul. The soul is made up of the mind, the will, and the emotions, right? So how do you go about pursuing your goal faithfully in your physical existence? You may have a goal for more finances or better health. Emotionally, you may have a goal for God's inner peace and a lack of depression. Spiritually, you may have a goal for a deeper walk with God. You know, you may have a goal of being in the ministry full time one day. To achieve these goals, you have got to make the first move and just begin. Just start. Regardless of how imperfect the surrounding circumstances are. You've just got to decide on the inside, you know what? I've got this goal in life. God has put this on my heart to have better health, more finances, a better job, a family, a reconciled relationship, to be in the ministry, to be a nurse, a doctor, a business person, to be an author. This is God's goal for my life. And you know what? Regardless of the situations around me, no matter how tough it is, I am going to determine on the inside to just start. No matter how imperfect everything around me feels at this point. Does that make sense? I'd like to read you a little story illustrating this point. And this is what it says. It's called Take Action Now. Finally, the day had arrived. Jennifer had been training for months. And now her hard work would be put to good use. Her body was in shape. Her mind was crisp. She was ready. Well, almost. She could not find the right pair of shoes. At this particular race, there was a large locker room full of every type of running shoe in the world. Jennifer was trying on shoes, but couldn't find the perfect ones. The race was about to begin, but she didn't want to run if everything wasn't perfect. For Jennifer, if everything wasn't perfect, she didn't want to start the race. Might that be some of us tonight? Tell them just 5 more minutes, she told the officials. I'll be right there. She wasn't. Jennifer tore through the stacks of shoes. One was too tight. The next one was too loose. One pair fit right, but she didn't like the colors. We have to start the race, Jen. Her coach walked out of the room shaking his head. As she was trying on a pair of green shoes, she heard the starter's gun. The race started without her. When she heard that shot, Jennifer stopped looking for the perfect shoes. Jennifer waited for everything to be perfect, and in doing so, let opportunity start and finish. Without her, you must take action if you want to reach your goals. No dream will come true if you don't do something to make it so. If you wait for the perfect situation, you may be waiting forever. Don't let the race start without you. Take action today. Not tomorrow, not next week, today. You will always have reasons why you must put it off until another time. Stop giving yourself excuses and give yourself a chance to succeed starting tonight. You know, you have a goal in life. What is your race in life? As I mentioned earlier. You know, before you start your race, not everything is going to be perfect. You've just got to determine on the inside to start, because the race otherwise may start and finish without you. Number two, how to remain consistent. how to pursue your goal faithfully. Number two. Number one, just start. Just take action. Number two, remain consistently steady in your steps towards that goal. And the great master, God, will help you through it. You do your best, as the saying goes, and God does the rest. I'd like to read you a little story here. Another one. It's called Twinkle Twinkle. Wishing to encourage her young son's progress on the piano, a mother took her boy to a Paderewski concert. After they were seated, the mother spotted an old friend in the audience and walked down the aisle to greet her. Seizing the opportunity to explore the wonders of the concert hall, the little boy rose and eventually explored his way through a door marked No Admittance. When the house lights dimmed and the concert was about to begin, the mother returned to her seat and discovered that her child was missing. Suddenly, the curtains parted and the spotlights focused on the impressive Steinway on stage. In horror, the mother saw her little boy was sitting at the keyboard, innocently picking out Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. At that moment, the great piano master made his entrance, quickly moved to the piano and whispered in the boy's ear, "Don't quit. Keep playing." Then, leaning over, Paderewski reached down with his left hand and began filling in a bass part. Soon his right arm reached around the other side of the child and he added a running obbligato. Together, the old master and the young novice transformed a frightening situation into a wonderfully creative experience. The audience was so mesmerized that they could not recall what else the great master played. Only the classic Twinkle Twinkle, Little Star. That's the way it is with God. What we can accomplish on our own is hardly noteworthy. We try our best, but the results aren't exactly graceful, flowing music. But with the hand of the master, our life's work can truly be beautiful. Next time you set out to accomplish great feats, listen carefully. You can hear the voice of the master whispering in your ear, "Don't quit," God says. Keep playing. Keep going towards your goal. Feel his loving arms around you. Know that his strong hands are there helping you turn your feeble attempts into true masterpieces. Remember, God doesn't call the equipped, he equips the called. And he'll always be there to love and to guide you to great things. Is that good? Number two, remain consistently steady in your steps towards that goal. You do your best and the great master God will do rest, right? All right. For instance, practically speaking here, if your goal is to have an extra $2,400 in the bank in 12 months, for instance, you need a little more money in the bank, a little bit of a cushion there. You need to consistently save what per month? $200 per month. That's your goal for the next 12 months. I want $2,400 in the bank financially. That's my goal. You've got to consistently put that $200 aside every month. And that may require you doing what? Working an extra 20 to 25 hours a month. And not working 1 month and then quitting for the next 3 months, but being consistently steady at working the extra 20 or 25 hours a month. Being faithful, right? Developing that fruit of the Spirit in your life. You know, if your goal is to have a deeper relationship with God by the year's end, what do you need to do? You need to consistently pray and read the Word. Consistently steady in your prayers towards God. Look at Romans 12:12. Romans 12:12. This is what Paul the Apostle writes. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in what? Faithful in prayer. You know, that's how you develop your relationship with God. If that's one of your goals spiritually, for your spirit to grow closer to God, you just got to say, you know what? I want to grow closer to God, but you've got to be faithful in prayer. Not like, you know, I'm going to pray 15 minutes on Monday morning, and then you 15 minutes on Tuesday morning, and then you skip 3 weeks. You know, that's not consistent steadiness. That's not faithfulness. You won't grow your relationship with Him that way. You know, you may read the Word of God on Monday morning for 15 minutes or 20 minutes and do it Tuesday morning and Wednesday morning, but then you miss out for 2 months on reading the Word of God. You're not being consistently steady. To get to know God better, you've got to pray to Him. You've got to be in His Word consistently, faithfully. That's the key, right? How many here tonight have a goal for your life? How many here have a goal? Something, a dream that you want to accomplish with your life. Amen? Well, you've got to be consistently faithful and walking and running towards that goal. Focus on the finish line. You know, friends, it's going to get tough at times. Just like it did for Paul the Apostle, just like it did for Jesus. It's going to get really tough. You're going to have some really low points in achieving your goal. Some valley experiences. But what is one way to motivate you to continue running towards that goal and finishing the race? What is one thing that can motivate you? Keeping your mind's eye on the prize. Right? Look at Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18. 29, verse 18. And this is what it says. Where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraints. But blessed is he who keeps the law. Where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraints. Where there is no vision, the people perish. You know, think, how many have ever been to a horse race or seen one? How many? What do they have on the sides of their eyes? They've got blinders, right? Right, they got blinders. What do those blinders do? Those blinders keep them focused on what? It keeps them focused on straight ahead. Because if they didn't have those blinders on their eyes, you know, their peripheral vision could pull them to the right and to the left, right? So those blinders have got to be on there to keep the horse focused towards the finish line. Keep the horse focused straight ahead. Right? And, you know, a vision, a revelation acts like those blinders. A goal in your life is like the blinders on a horse's eye. If you can keep your eyes on the goal, keep those blinders on your eyes, you will accomplish God's dream, God's purpose, His goal for your life. But you've got to consistently run. You've got to consistently keep that goal in front of your eyes. You've got to keep that goal, those blinders, on your eyes to keep you focused. Does that make sense? So then you start running. You take baby steps. And then you start taking bigger steps to the point where you're not only walking with God, but now you're running with God. Not to the point where you're only running with God, but now you're flying in your relationship with God, flying in the purpose and in the goal that God has for your life. But you've got to be consistently steady. And the way you remain consistently steady is by keeping your eyes on the goal, having those blinders on, called the vision. Does that make sense? All right, all right. You know, I do a 3-mile run like 3 or 4 times a week. Three times a week on average. And you know what? It's tough. Let me tell you, running 3 miles is pretty tough. But I've got my eyes on what? I got my eyes on the goal, on the prize, the satisfaction that I receive when I reach the 3-mile marker. So as long as I keep my heart and my eyes on that goal, man, I'm gonna reach the 3-mile marker. I'm gonna be satisfied. As long as I could keep focused that way, I can go through with the run no matter how painful it is. Anybody ever run 3 miles? Anybody run 5 miles, 10 miles, a marathon, whatever? It's pretty tough at times, right? But you've got to keep the goal in front of your eyes. And when you keep that goal in front of you, you can remain consistently steady. You can remain faithful, developing that fruit of the Spirit called faithfulness. What trust or mission or goal has God spoken about to you? Has God spoken to you about a goal for His for your life from Him? Does God have a specific purpose for you? A specific dream, something He wants you to accomplish? Anybody here feel that God has got something special for them? Every single one of us have it. Look what Paul the Apostle writes in closing here tonight. 1 Corinthians 4:2. This is what he says. 1 Corinthians 4:2. Now it is required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful.
faithful. What trust, what mission, what purpose, what plan has God got for your life? What has He spoken to you? My child, I want you to write a book. I want you to start a business. I want you to increase financially so you can support the work of the kingdom. What has God spoken to you? Are you going to remain faithful with that trust and do what God has called you to do? You first have got to know what God is calling you to do, friends. And once you know that, you just start. You take the first step. Though the surrounding circumstances are imperfect, take the first step and then keep taking other steps. Keep going and going. Do your best and God will do the rest. Just keep going and keep your eyes on the what? On the prize, on the goal that you want to accomplish, that God wants you to accomplish. Amen? Paul the Apostle writes, he says, Do not grow weary in doing good. For in due season you will reap a harvest if you do not what? If you do not faint, if you do not give up. In other words, if you remain consistently steady, you will receive the harvest. And God loves you guys so very much. He wants this fruit of faithfulness developed in our lives. It's the only way, it's one of the main ways that you'll receive God's good thing for your life, God's miracle for your life, whether it be in your spirit, in your soul, in your body, in your finances, in your relationships. If you have a goal in any one of those areas, if God has spoken to you about some area of your life, something that He wants you to accomplish, what do you have to do? You've got to remain faithful and not give up. Even job-wise, some of you may not have a job here tonight. Maybe some of you are looking for a job. Well, what you need to do consistently is to fill out job applications. It's not like you fill out one application and wait a month or two and wait for an interview. No, you fill out application after application after application. You schedule interview after interview after interview. You're consistently steady. Why? Because your goal is to do what? It's to get a job. You keep your eyes on that goal, getting a job. And if you can do that, you can remain consistent in filling out applications, in interviewing, so forth and so on. Does that make sense? All right. God has something special for you, but we've got to develop that fruit of the Spirit called faithfulness. Amen? Amen.